Welcome to Signs of Life, exploring survival of consciousness. Brought to you by Forever Family Foundation. On the web at foreverfamilyfoundation.org.
I call your name. The echo is haunting. The echo is always the same. I call your name. The echo is haunting.
And welcome to the gathering on Signs of Life Radio. I'm Bob Ginsberg, and I'm joined by Tom and Melissa Gould, as always on this these gathering episodes. Tonight's show is dedicated to dazzle shots. And in case you're wondering what the heck is a dazzle shot, I mean, it's our term for an after-death communication or synchronicity that is seemingly a communication from loved ones on the other side. Sometimes they could be very subtle, as you know, with different signs. Dazzle shots tend to be more profound and harder to dismiss because you can't find any physical explanations for them. Many of you have sent in your dazzle shots. We will read as many as possible. And for the ones that we don't get to, we'll have more shows of this type and we'll save it for the next show. You're also welcome to call in case you wanted to read one on the air. And its number here is 888-627-6008. That's 6008. Before we get started, just really one quick announcement. Dr. Piero Calvi-Parisetti will be giving a webinar on September 18th. You can register via the website. He's a medical doctor, afterlife researcher, and he's going to go over the rational belief in an afterlife, and he'll be giving you all the evidence. So it's something you might want to join in on. Grief retreats, next one up is in California. Of course, that's filled, but we'll be posting more soon. You know, these dazzle shots, as Tom and Melissa remember, we used to publish Signs of Life magazine, and we gave that up because it was just too much of an undertaking and a huge expense. And we used to publish a dazzle shot, at least one in each edition. So these radio shows will take the place of that. So let's get right into them. We have, before we go to take some calls, let's read a couple and then we'll go to some phone calls. Some of these are very short and some of them are quite lengthy but interesting, so bear with us as we go through them. Here's one. My son Dave died by suicide December 12th in 2018. About 6 months later, another son was driving with my granddaughter, who was about 2.5 at the time. They were driving in a thunderstorm when a big branch crashed through the windshield. There was glass everywhere except on my granddaughter or her car seat. She matter-of-factly told her mom, who was not in the car, that Dad and Uncle Dave were in the car.
Oh, wow.
When we talk about some people would call those, you know, angels or guides. And here's an example of a visitation from somebody that's, when you wonder if people are looking out for us, and that sure is evidence that, you know, that people are.
Oh, I agree completely, Bob. I love that story.
Yeah. We'll go to one more quick one and then we'll go to some phone calls. Before my brother passed, I told him to send me a sign. I was out walking after he passed and came across what they nicknamed the Jesus moth. I never heard of that. I had never seen one in my entire 50 years. Just last week, I was telling my hairdresser, and she said she had never seen one. The next day, she texted me a picture of one on her way into the gym. We knew it was a sign for us, and she also sent us a photo with it. It's quite an impressive moth. You know, it looks like a beautiful butterfly, but it's a moth. So, you know, there's an example, you might say, right, that, well, okay, you know, it's a coincidence. But you know, you're asking for a sign, and then you all of a sudden you get something that you haven't seen and you've never seen in your life, you know. So I guess that's a striking example. And as we mention often, it's the feeling that comes along with the sign that's the most important.
Yeah.
Yeah. You agree, Tom?
Oh, definitely. In fact, if I can, Melissa sent me a link today to a YouTube. There's a comedian, Jim Brewer, who's been on radio and pretty popular, has his own show on satellite radio. And the title of the YouTube was just Cardinal. And it's a whole comedy routine, 7 minutes long, about how he asked his father to come through with some sort of sign. And then this cardinal kept showing up and showing up and showing up. And then he went away on vacation, and the cardinal was there on vacation. And he finally said, "Okay, Dad, I get it. You know, the picture, you don't have to come anymore as a cardinal." And as that was happening, he had an uncle who was at home looking after the pets. And when he got home, the uncle said, "You know that cardinal that keeps coming around? Well, it's gone. It left." So, you know, he made jokes about it, but he was, he actually was pretty serious when he started the setup for it.
He was. And yeah, I did listen to it. And thanks, Melissa, for sending that. And yeah, it was kind of touching and humorous at the same time, because the cardinal was knocking on every window of the house and was a real pain in the ass, you know. So his uncle, who was a non-believer, said, "I think you're going to have to kill Dad." You know, it's like. Yeah. All right, let's go to a phone call before we get back to reading some of these. We have Kurt from Houston. Hello, Kurt. Hello.
Yes, can you hear me right?
Yeah, welcome to the gathering. Did you have a story that you wanted to share?
I have. In fact, I have kind of one and a half. There's a little half story kind of set it up. About 30 years ago, my wife and I were driving somewhere in the rain, and we got into a car accident. But several cars, we were coming over a hill, and all the cars ahead had slammed on their brakes. So I locked up my brakes. We're sliding toward the back end of this truck in a little car. And we were going over a bridge, so there's a guardrail on the left. And I thought for sure we were just going to slam into the back of the truck. And then a voice in my back of my head said, "Go left." So like at the last possible second, I was able to go left around this truck. And it was a voice in my head. It was not a conscious thought. You know, and I said at the time, "I don't care if you call it, you know, my grandfather, guardian angel, voice of God himself, doesn't matter." It was not a conscious thought. So 30 years goes by, and I've told that story to many people, but 30 years have gone by. I don't have any other connections or readings or hearing or anything like that. Well, our oldest son passed away just about a year ago at 24. And a few weeks afterwards, we were all still in a daze, of course, and my sister-in-law was here, and she said, "So what are you doing?" And I said, "I don't know what to do." And I was in the dining room right near where we have a portrait of my son. And so a couple minutes later, I was walking past the portrait, not even looking at the portrait. I was looking at my phone. And just as I walked by, I kind of tripped, stumbled, like he'd reached out from the photo and shoved me on the shoulder, knocked me over. And I turned and looked him right in the eye in the photo, looked him right in the eye. And I felt this like connection, like I looked through his eyes. I was like in a trance. And he said to me, "Dad, you do know what to do." And I said to him, just not out loud, but in my head, I said, "No, Dean, I really don't know what to do." And he said, "Yes, Dad, you do know what to do." And I said, "I really don't know where you're going with this, Dean." And he said, "You do you." And then it was like he hung up, like the trance was broken, and I was back standing in front of the picture. And "you do you" was significant because that was something, as he was growing up, we always told him, like, follow your dreams, follow your bliss. But you do you was his phrase. That was his way of essentially saying the same thing. So I feel like I got, like, the wisdom of the ages. Like, that's what I need to know to do to get through this. That you gotta keep doing what you're focused on, what you're here to do, Dad.
True.
Wow. Oh, fantastic.
Yeah, three simple words, great wisdom, and you know exactly what it meant, right?
Right.
Well, thank you for sharing that, Kurt. Right.
Thank you
all for being. We've drive. My wife is here too. We've gotten so much comfort from listening to you every week. So thank you all for what you're doing.
Thank you
so much. So sorry for your loss. Thanks. So what's here's one. It's kind of long, but let me read it. In 1994, my mom and I received one of the greatest Christmas gifts one could receive, contact from a loved one. My father passed away in June of 1994, and this was to be the first Christmas without my father. My father celebrated Christmas real big. His gift to the family was to make a huge gourmet Christmas dinner. Each year of my dad's dinner had its own theme or specialty dish that he had learned when he was stationed in various countries while serving in the Army. His favorite dishes were from Asia, especially from Japan. He would buy the highest quality when it came to ingredients for the meal. He would save up all year to make this one day very special for the family. He might not have been a certified gourmet chef, but to us and friends, he should have been. I wanted to make Christmas special for my mom since it was our first Christmas without my dad. I planned to make a nice gourmet dinner like my dad did and to decorate the house big for the holidays inside and out. I got up early in the morning and had my list of items to buy and locations mapped out that I needed to go to. I left not knowing what was going to happen that day. I was shopping in this department store, and I was halfway done with my list of items to gather for Christmas. I wanted something that would wow my mom when she saw the gift. I entered into this store, and I saw an angel standing just over 4 feet tall. The angel, I thought, was beautifully done visually with an elegant gown, great detail to the face and large wings open on her back. I felt drawn towards the figure, and I said to myself, that's what I'm looking for. This is the wow that will make her Christmas. After my dad's death, my mother started to collect angel figurines, and I knew she would love this angel added to her collection. I walked to my car with the angel and started to put it in the vehicle. Unlocking the car, I suddenly smelled the strong odor of cigar smoke in the air. My first thought that someone is pretty rude to blow this smoke so close to someone. And I look around and I see no one around smoking a cigar or any form of tobacco. I shrug it off and continue to put the angel in the car. The cigar smell gets stronger. And then I hear my dad's voice say, Mike, you need to go to Tokyo Market now. At first, I thought I imagined this and I thought I must be thinking it's dad because he used to smoke cigars. I get into the car and I check my list and plan for the next location to shop at. And then the cigar smell was in my car very strong. I started to tingle all over. And then I heard my dad's voice again in my head. Mike, you need to go to Tokyo Market now. For some reason, I responded out loud. Dad, if this is you, I have Tokyo Market on my list to go to. Then I heard him in my head again, you need to go now, right now. And I'm thinking, this can't be happening. I was caught off guard. I'm not expecting to argue with my dad about a place to shop at. I start to drive to the next location and I hear his voice, Mike, you need to go now. It's a Christmas gift for you and your mother there. Hearing this, I start to fight back tears. I reply back out loud in my car, Dad, I'm going there now. The cigar smell disappears, and I no longer hear my dad talking to me. I drive to the other side of town to reach the Tokyo Market, which is a store that specializes in imported gourmet food from Japan. I arrive at the store not knowing what I'm supposed to be looking at. As I walk towards the door, the smell of cigar smoke returns. Entering inside the store, I'm drawn to an item on the front door store display. As I go to look at them, I hear my dad's voice again. Don't look at that. Go to the left of the store and go to the last cabinet and look inside. There you'll see yours and your mother's Christmas gift. I walk to the last cabinet and I look inside the cabinet of products. And then my eyes are drawn to this one item. It was an item my dad wanted the store to order for him, an item that he tried for 5 years to get, and the store wasn't able to find or import it from Japan. They had finally got it. I grabbed every package of the item to purchase, and I headed to the register to cash out. The cashier was surprised to see that I have this entire item they have for sale. And then she says to me, "You're not buying all of these, are you? We had a customer who had requested this for over 5 years, and we've lost his phone number. We are hoping he comes in to get this. Can you leave a couple of these just in case he returns?" I ask, "Can you describe this man for me?" And after the cashier describes my dad perfectly, I reach for my wallet and show her a photo of my dad. "Is this him?" And she replied, "Yes." I explained to her that he had passed away during the summer and I was his son. She then said, "Well, I guess it was meant for you to come in here and buy this." I didn't share with her what brought me there. I thanked her and I wished her a Merry Christmas. Leaving the store, I smell the cigar and I hear my dad's voice for the last time saying, "Merry Christmas." I stopped any further shopping and decided to drive straight home. I needed to share what had just happened with my mom. When I got home, I decided to give my mom her Christmas gifts, and I told her she needed to sit down and prepare to hear how these gifts had come to be. I had her close her eyes and then proceeded in the room with the 4-foot-tall angel. She opened her eyes to see this elegant angel and became overwhelmed with happiness. I then told her, "I have one more gift for you, and it's in this bag. First, though, I need to tell you how I got this item in the bag." I shared my experience and then handed her the bag to open, saying to her, "Merry Christmas from Dad." She gave me a big hug, and we both cried with tears of happiness. Christmas of 1994 is a Christmas my mom and I will never forget.
Oh, wow. Beautiful.
Yeah. A lot to unpack there. But, yeah. Sometimes we have these, subtle voices. We're not quite sure if we're hearing it. And he was having a pretty clear definite conversation. And I like the way his dad was very adamant. He wasn't going to let this slip by. You got to get your ass to the store, because it was all planned. So that was pretty interesting.
Fantastic.
Yeah. Let's see. We have here, "My dear wife of 30 years transitioned on March 27, 2017. Soon after that, we received numerous messages from her. However, the most dazzling message was a dream visitation. I never remember my dreams, but this one will stay with me for the rest of my time on earth. She appeared dressed in a white robe and smiling. Her appearance was as she was in her 30s. She was 57 when she transitioned. I reached out and hugged her, and as soon as I did that, I awoke and she was gone. I know it was her, and I was so happy to have seen her."
Aww. Yeah,
another good example of a dream visitation that stayed with him and will always stay with him. So there's no, people say, "Well, how do I know when I really have a visit versus like a regular dream?" Well, there's an example. Let's see. "Winter of 2014, a very close friend of mine passed and I wasn't there to say goodbye. That week, he had passed early in the morning. I was awoken and I could hear in my head my friend telling me he was okay and he was with his mom. He wanted to let me know that he was okay. He told me to tell my husband, Ed, and close friend Nancy goodbye, and he would find our friend Mary that had passed away a few years before. Also, he told me my black lab dog Cinderella had longer to live, but when she dies, he would take care of her. He mentioned he knew we were going snow skiing and told me he would be with me on the trip. During the trip or the following week, I could feel his presence with me. He had to go to visit others, but again told me he was with mom. He was with his mom and he was okay. During the message, I saw a small dark cloud above me. It was very peaceful and I was not scared during the message and I felt reassured he was okay. It was a beautiful experience." Some of that, is somewhat, subtle, but
powerful.
Powerful. Yeah. Yeah. Let's see. Okay. This story about my son is just as amazing. Jonathan was a screenwriter in Los Angeles and had just signed with the William Morris Agency for a script called 777 the week before he was diagnosed with leukemia. When he passed away, 777 became his calling card. I saw it mostly on license plates. However, the Friday before Mother's Day, my class of first graders presented a Mother's Day program for their moms. I had a hard time getting through it, missing my son on my first Mother's Day without him. I was team teaching with another woman, and as the program ended, I told her that I needed to regroup and I would happily go to the copy room and make copies of the notices that needed to go home with the kids that afternoon. No one was in the copy room as I entered and the machine was on sleep. I put my paper to be copied on the glass and pushed the button to make the copies needed. When I did, the amount of copies read 777. Yeah. No one in my building would ever have made 777 copies of anything. It was Jonathan, and I'm certain, sending me a Mother's Day hug when I needed it the most.
Oh, absolutely. That's amazing.
Yeah. I mean, the number of affinities seem to come up, you know, all the time.
Oh, quite a bit.
With license plates. And here's a here's an interesting account by my friend Eric, who actually told me about this story, and I asked him to write it up. So it's a bit long, but powerful. So let me read it. Eric was a firefighter, you know, and in June 8th of 2018, he said, I had my first official counseling session for the building collapse tragedy. He was involved fighting a fire and a tragedy. During the session, it was the first time in many weeks that I had to recount the tragic events of March 22nd, 2018 in full detail, as I told my therapist for the first time. This time, the only part that made me get emotional enough to cause me to cry was when I was telling him how merely several minutes prior to the actual collapse, I had been on one knee spraying the hot spot with the nozzle. Zach approached me, his partner, and asked if I wanted a break. He took over my position at the nozzle. Several minutes later, the building collapsed. He, along with another partner, Ivan, died. I have strong feelings of guilt over the fact that I allowed Zach to take over the nozzle from me. In hindsight, it's as if Zach sacrificed himself for me. That's a tough reality to come to grips with. And later that day, around 7 p.m., I was in the backyard and decided to make a fire in the fire pit. I had gotten the fire started and it was a few feet high and had been burning for about 5 minutes. I was stoking the fire with the prod. Suddenly, I was startled by a loud fluttering noise coming towards me. A large pigeon landed on a rock on the edge of the fire pit. I stepped back and stared at the pigeon, wondering why it would land next to me on the rock. Then it literally hopped from the rock and into the fire pit. It was walking on and next to the fire and the coals. It was pecking at the red coals and the embers and the flames. I was in disbelief. Then I panicked and I thought he was going to get burned or injured. So I bent down and I began shooing and helping it to get out of the fire pit. It was almost as if it didn't even have any sense of urgency. I managed to force it to flutter out of the pit and onto the grass. It just walked around close to me for a few moments. I was freaking out and called for Donna, his wife, to step outside. The dogs came running out and scared the pigeon. It flew onto the shed roof. I walked over and just watched it for a few minutes as it walked along the shed roof. I brought it some bird seed from our parrot cage. It flew to the ground below the shed and started eating the bird seed I had tossed onto the ground. Rocky, our chihuahua, ran at it and scared it. This time it flew to the roof of the house. It then walked along the gutter all the way to the other side of the roof until it was in line with me. It then walked along the gutter. It sat and watched me until the sun went down and it got dark. I took several photos. I went inside and I Googled, what does it mean if a pigeon visits you? And pigeons also represent love and sacrifice. But when a pigeon visits you, it means that a spirit is trying to make contact with you. I know it sounds crazy, but I believe this pigeon was some sort of representation or a symbol of Zach. It flew into a fire, and I, in a sense, rescued it. Then it watched over me until I went in for the night. I was never afraid. It was never afraid of me and seemed to want to be near me. The next morning, I was in the family room having my coffee with Donna, and I glanced out of the window, and there walked the pigeon, hanging around the mulched area, walking in around the hostas. It hung around our house the entire day. At one point, I found it sitting on the rock wall in the front yard. I took it some seed, and it walked over to me and ate out of the container in my hand, totally unafraid. Later, it followed me along the front walkway and into the garage where Liam and Zach were working on a car. Donna and I left the car. I became obsessed with this bird and what this must mean. We had friends over for drinks later in the evening. We all saw it roosting on the roof in the same spot it had been the night before. And next morning, I went out back to look for the pigeon. It was perched on the white fence that separates our yard from the neighbors. I sat in a chair by the fire pit and just watched it. It seemed to notice me, too, and it fluttered to the ground and tried frantically to walk through the wire fence to get me. I was worried it would injure itself, so I went down to the edge of the fence. It saw me and strolled down along the mulch to me. I had opened the gate. I walked through the gate and into the backyard. Again, it was totally unafraid of me. I went back and sat in the chair by the fire pit. I walked across the yard, and by me again, always with its eyes on me. It hung in the yard for a while longer until the dogs came and chased it away. I didn't see it the rest of the day. The next morning I looked, but it didn't see it. I haven't seen it since. It's as if it appeared, displayed its symbolism to me, and let me know it was special, and then left once it knew that its job was done. In my 19 years of living in this house, I had never seen a pigeon there. It picked the right time after I expressed my feeling of guilt about Zach to my therapist to appear. And it made its grand entrance by literally flying into the fire. I don't know if I'll ever understand this, but I honestly believe that there was a divine reason for this pigeon to reveal itself to me. My therapist stated that if I truly believed it was a sign sent from some spirit realm, that it seemed to him as if it allowed me to save it as a representation of the fact that I struggle with the fact that I feel responsible for what happened to Zach when I switched places with him, which led to him being killed. He also sent a photo of this pigeon that he took, and you can clearly see two angel images on its chest when I look closely at the photos. So talk about orchestrating things from the other side and being there when you really need it. Do we think that, that this pigeon, was his friend Zach, who came back as a pigeon? No, but, Zach certainly arranged it, Yeah. Put that thought in that pigeon and the pigeon was kind of picking up on all of Zach's feelings and emotions and appearing. So that was a really, meaningful story.
Absolutely.
And thanks, Eric, for sending that in. Let's go back to the phones. We have Moni from North Carolina. Is Moni still there? Okay, I guess Moni must have left. All right, let's look at some more things. I know that both you and Tom had a couple of dazzle shots of your own.
I was checking the chat, though, Bob. Did we still have Peggy on the line? Oh, Peggy left too. Okay.
Yeah. You want to tell your dazzle shot?
I could tell mine. I had to write it down to keep me on track.
Okay.
Because otherwise, I could go on at greater length. Mine involves a daunting home repair project. And my dad, who was in spirit, who had been in spirit for almost 3 years at the time, in 2012, Hurricane Sandy had loosened the vinyl siding on the front portion of our home. We had quickly done a makeshift repair to keep all in place until we could afford to have a carpenter fix it properly. One morning, the following spring, we saw that some kind of creature had likely discovered the soft spot in the siding and had pried it loose to squeeze in behind it and climb down from the roof. We now could no longer wait to get a carpenter started on the proper repair job. While we were waiting for our appointment with the carpenter, I decided I should climb up to the roof to investigate what other damage there might be. And sadly, I discovered that the creature, which I determined likely was a raccoon due to the droppings that I saw on the roof, because my dad had always told me to know the species, look at the feces. So I identified it as a raccoon. And this raccoon had also clawed away at some of the roof's shingles in order for it to get under the loose siding. So now we were faced with a much bigger and more costly repair project that involved finding roof shingles in the same color to match our roof. As I returned the ladder to our backyard, I thought about my dad, and I thought about how handy he had been. In his workshop, he had saved bits of everything. He was ready for any repair job. And I regretted that we just didn't have the space for storing old shingles. But I checked our shed anyway, just to be sure, but no luck. And then I was closing the shed's door, and I kept thinking more about my dad and how much I missed him and his guidance and his helpfulness with all of my projects. And I just started aimlessly walking around the shed, and it's covered with ivy on the ground there. And I started to tug and pull out some of the overgrown ivy that surrounded the shed. And some came away very easily. It just came out so loosely and too easily that I was curious, and I examined the ground to see why the ivy was so loose. And I discovered that the long strands of ivy had grown around something on the ground. And I pulled away more of it, and I discovered, partially buried in the ground, a large sheet of clear plastic. So I started to tear away some of the plastic, and I saw that it was encasing an entire bundle of shingles. And they must have been tossed there, left over from when our roof had been replaced over 20 years earlier. So I gave thanks to my dad, and that's my dazzle shot.
Thank you. Tom, you wanted to tell one of you.
Yeah, in fact, as I'm thinking about this, it's significant because today is my daughter's wedding anniversary, and she married a fine young gentleman who was a PhD chemist, and his father and mother, wonderful people that we met prior to the wedding and after the wedding. And we really bonded very closely. And unfortunately, his mother, or somewhere around 2009, passed away from cancer. And his father, who just adored her and they had just an ideal marriage, was beside himself. And we felt that, this was June when she passed away. We said, look, when the holidays come, it's the toughest time, and we don't want you to be alone. So please come and join us at our home for the holidays in December. And he agreed to do that and came with members of his family, and we had a large gathering. And Melissa thought it was a good idea for get the guys out of the house, and why don't you guys go to the movies? Well, to get to the movies, we have to go down this road, and there's a stretch of the road that goes around a curve, and there are houses nearby, but it's not the kind of place where anybody's ever walking. But as you go around the curve, there's a big brick wall. And I had just, you know, I drive there a lot. In fact, the day before I had driven by that wall. And only this time when we drove and I had Jim in the car, we came up on that wall, and in big letters painted on the wall was the phrase, "I will always love you." And I turned to Jim and I said, "You see that, the graffiti?" I said, "That wasn't there yesterday. I think that's for you." And he actually took it in as, yeah, that's a sign. Now, the interesting thing about this that makes it even more poignant is, so he spent the holiday and then he went home, and about 4 days after he left and went back home, I noticed that the wall had been scrubbed clean and there was nothing on it. And that was 12 years ago. There has never been any graffiti on that wall before or since. But when Jim was in the car, it said, "I will always love you." That one.
Nice.
That one hit home.
Yeah, that's a good one. And perfect timing, exactly when he needed it.
Yes.
Let's go to this one here. This event happened last week. My father-in-law passed away in the fall of 2020 from complications of COVID. I was trying to repair his lawn mower. The belt had come off the rider mower deck, and I was trying to fix it, and I noticed this one pin was broken. I went into his garage hoping he had a replacement, since he was a mechanic and he had tons of tools and parts. I spent about 10 to 15 minutes searching for this part. I got frustrated and spoke out loud, "John, I can't believe you don't have this in your garage. All the crap you have here and you don't have one of these." And then I hear a voice in my head saying, "Look to your left in the bucket." I looked to my left, and there on the workbench was a bucket. The bucket had rags and a cardboard box stuffed in it. I pulled them out, and below the box was some loose screws and washers and the exact part I needed to fix the mower. I spoke out loud, "Thank you, John," and felt the static charge in the air around me, giving me goosebumps. I fixed the mower and shared the experience with my family.
Aww.
So, you know, and there was no doubt, obviously, when he found the part, that he didn't find it by chance. You know, he was instructed, and that obviously gave him the goosebumps, you know. So
that's cool.
Yeah. Let's see. So many of these that came in, I'm trying to.
I love that our listeners wanted to share these, and especially when you said, you know, we used to publish them. So this is wonderful for them.
Yeah.
To have opportunity.
Right. Here's one from Catherine. So my mother, a true hoarder like you see on TV, was about to sell her house in Florida, and she had already moved into an assisted living facility. Before we sold the house as is, in a completely messy state with all of the furniture, I just knew there was something on the floor to the right of her bed, even though there was nothing there but a huge pile of mess. No furniture there, no dresser, no desk, no jewelry box, nothing there of any use or value. I told William, I just knew that there was something there and that I needed to check a specific area on the floor next to the head of my mother's bed. He said there was nothing there but a pile of old books and junk. So I flew all the way down to Florida just to check that specific area before we sold my mother's house. When I got there was nothing but a huge pile of trash and books, just like William said, left there when my mom moved out her most basic things. There was no reason to look for anything in that spot, but I did anyway. It took me about 3 to 4 hours to bag all of the trash that was in that spot. When I finally got down almost to the floor level, I found a big rat's nest, and I was really disappointed. But I come all that way to find something, whatever it was, and I wasn't going to give up. So I cleaned up all the paper shavings and the debris from the nest. And when I finally got to the bare floor, there was this beautiful diamond watch sitting on the bare floor. It had been my grandmother's favorite watch for decades, and I never even knew that my mother had it.
Wow.
So
that's, you know, sometimes you get this feeling or these messages, and you just have to act upon them, you know, and it's important to the person in spirit, more important to the person in spirit than, you know, perhaps it is to you. Let's go to a call. We have Michelle from Massachusetts. Michelle, are you with us?
Yes. Hi.
Hi.
I had a story I wanted to share. I never forgot it. This happened years ago. I saw a psychic or medium, and she told me that she wanted to, she was very good. She knew a lot about me, and she told me she wanted to warn me about moving into a place with a ghost. And she said, now, nothing to be afraid of. Remember, ghosts are just spirits who, you know, either don't know they're gone or they weren't ready to leave when they left. And so I didn't think much of it after that. I wasn't really a big believer in ghosts. I wasn't frightened by it. I just, oh, and she gave me a name, and this is the ghost's name. And I thought that was kind of ludicrous, actually, and kind of silly. But I went on about 2 years later. No, it was about a year later. I was in my 20s, living with a couple of people in an apartment. We always had one room that was the rotating roommate. Three of us in one room where somebody'd come and then they'd leave and we'd get another roommate. So we had a roommate move in who one night we were out and she confided in me that she and her brother had, their sister had died of cancer as a young person. And she and her brother both had finally admitted to each other that oftentimes at night, in their room, this mist would come over their bed that they knew was their sister, and that they she shared that there were a few family secrets in the family, and there was a bunch of unfinished business, and both of them would have this experience. And of course, her experience in her room was in our apartment. And I recalled what the psychic had said and had given me the name, like, say, Jennifer. And I said to the roommate, was your sister's name by any chance Jennifer? And she said, how on earth did you know that?
Wow.
And I thought, wow.
Isn't that amazing?
It was pretty incredible. Fast forward to present, my dear brother passed away in 2020 unexpectedly in a car accident. And I have had one visitation from him in a dream. We were very, very close. He was a year older than me. He was a very big, bold spirit who was holding a lot of people up in his lifetime and just an incredible man. And I had the one visitation from him that was beautiful, and then it made me very sad when I woke up that he wasn't actually here. And I've not had any visitations or signs or anything from him since, and I listen to your show every week, and I find great comfort in it. It's this incredibly painful thing for me. But I will say it's very hard. I hear the medium say don't try too hard, and some say look for signs and notice what's there, but don't try too hard and quiet things down and, you know, all of these different things. And I've had a number of kind of spiritual experiences in my life, having worked in hospice and with people with HIV and AIDS, and So I know that people can manifest themselves after death and all kinds of things. But I'm perplexed and disappointed that I can't, you know, seem to connect with him.
Yeah, well,
and I'm not sure why, you know.
Yeah, there's no specific reason that you're going to be able to identify, you know, all these things that you mentioned. I hear what you're saying, you know, the reason that the mediums and so forth will give you that advice, you know, is the theory that if you could get yourself into an altered state of consciousness, such as when you're in the dream state or when you're meditating or when you're absorbed in music or nature or so forth, that your conscious mind is put aside and it's easier for them to get through. But we know that just wanting it to happen doesn't make it happen, you know, and you can't force it to happen. And, you know, you just have to be, you just have to sit back believe and be open to anything that comes your way. You know, sometimes, you know, these after-death communications can come decades after somebody passes, you know, and sometimes they come like crazy, you know, in the first year or so. And there's no rhyme or reason, you know, sometimes, you know, the person in spirit is waiting for just a specific opportunity when you really need it. And then all of a sudden you get this amazing, profound thing. So, but I know that, you know, it's just nothing that you can make happen. There's, you know, so many things have to go just right. But, you know, listen, you're not skeptical. You're open minded. You know, you've had experiences and it'll come and, you know, just be patient. You know,
if I can jump in here, there's a recommendation that we get often about keeping a sign journal. Now, I know my mom had a similar situation where she was sort of napping in her chair and she was startled awake. And there was her husband kneeling by her side and smiling at her. And she definitely knew it was him. And afterwards she says, well, I want him to come back. I'm waiting for him to come back. And unfortunately, that didn't happen. However, that doesn't mean that he wasn't communicating. So if you have a journal and you write down whenever you feel that you're getting the communication, of course, you have the dream visit, which is very vivid and real, and that's what you would love to have every night, I'm sure. But what you can do is, if you keep the dream journal and you get into your car and you turn on the radio and it's his favorite song, okay, there's a little sign. Or you're thinking about him and you find a feather or a penny or a cardinal or a pigeon comes and sits on your window. These are little things and you go, there's the connection. I was thinking about him and then this happened. And you write that in the journal. And then after a months or even, as Bob says, years, you look back at the journal and you see, the communication hasn't necessarily stopped. It's just that it's in a different form. And what we all must realize is, you know, when we pass over, we're not all powerful and all knowing and all able to do things. We're still us learning new things with our spiritual existence. So, you know, to be able to manifest, like my father was able to manifest his entire being in a vision for my mom, that probably took an awful lot of doing that he wasn't necessarily able to recreate. But he has, he certainly sent me little signs like that along the way. And if you add them all up, it becomes a journal of your communication. So I would recommend that might be helpful to not necessarily look for that one sign that you loved getting, but to look for any sign and get it, you know, a pattern of them going. It's not easy. It's not a, you know, these are only just suppositions that we've heard in a lot of ways, but it can be helpful.
And always say thank you for the sign. Give him credit for it so that he'll keep sending you more.
Well, thank you for calling, okay. Michelle. Have a good evening.
Thank you. That's helpful. Appreciate it. Bye-bye.
Good night. Let me get to another one while we still have time. Let's see. A sound woke me at 6 a.m. in late November. Standing at my bedroom door was the shadow of a woman. Her hand rested on the door handle. She was leaning in as if taking a peek. I laid still, watching her subtle movements while triple-checking that I was wide awake. My mom had passed a few days before. My 10-year-old son was sleeping in my bed. I had painted his room the day before, and it would have triggered his asthma. So then he got up and he walked out the door. He looked in his sister's room and downstairs and then came back in. He said that he thought he saw someone standing at the door, but quickly shrugged it off as his imagination and went back to sleep. Later that morning, my son and I were chatting in his room. Amidst video game and Pokemon talk, he suddenly asked if I thought that might have been grandma. Maybe. What would make you think that? He said that he smelled her perfume when he was in the hallway. He also told me that he wanted his room painted green because it was my mom's favorite color. He was hoping she noticed and liked it. I loved that he wanted to honor her. While we were talking about her, I could hear my husband rummaging around in the kitchen cupboard. He came running upstairs with a talking pedometer. My mom had given this to me months before. I never used it. I left it in the box and I put it in the cupboard. The pedometer was saying, "It's 6 a.m., it's 6 a.m., repeatedly in a woman's voice, the exact time that the shadow showed up. My son's face lit up. See, it was grandma. He was so happy that she came to visit as I was. Like I say to this day, good one, mom. And his face lit up. See, it was grandma. He was so happy that you came to visit, as was I. Like I say to this day, good one, mom." Yeah. So, I mean, it's an interesting story, and it involves an apparition, you know, similar to what the caller before, you know, mom was actually making herself, you know, visibly apparent, but also through smell and our different physical senses that, you know, so we could, you know, recognize her. Then she also manages through psychokinesis, you know, mind affecting matter to affect that device. So it's also, mom really thought that one out. You know? It makes you wonder, doesn't it, sometimes, on how they can orchestrate all of these synchronistic events to happen. You know, we couldn't do that in our physical lives. It would take too much planning and too much work. from their vantage point and perspective, they can make all these things happen. You know, so.
How cool is that? And the grandson will always feel that connection with his grandma.
And what's also cool about that is that, you know, here's mom, you know, another person in a similar situation might have insisted that that the boy had a bad dream, and perhaps even worse, you know, could have taken the boy for counseling, you know, or worried that he was his imagination was running wild, and somehow that was a bad thing, right? I mean, how many times have we seen that? You know, people reporting their children, and the next thing you know, that they're taking medication to stop these. These things that we don't consider to be normal, you know.
Yeah, that's the truth.
They're normal to us, right?
Yeah. And that's, you know, I mean, we don't have much time, but I think that in the sampling of stuff, you know, that we've read, some of these things are extremely direct and powerful, and some things are just come with this, they're attached to the sense of knowing, you know. So you might say, okay, well, finding this exotic moth is a coincidence. It happens. But the second that she looked at that moth, it was accompanied by this knowing, that it was more than, the coincidence. And that's the most important thing, what we take with us. So I think that we've run out of our allotted time. I thank everybody for being with us. You could keep sending those dazzle shots in. If we didn't get to read them this time, we'll get to read them, the next time. And with that, I think you would like to close the show by saying,
our loved ones are only a heartbeat away.
And science is going to prove it.
Good night, everyone.
Good night.
Good night.